Hi, I'm Gary. I'm an alcoholic and addict. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over cocaine and all mind-altering substances that our lives had become unmanageable. And definitely my life came unmanageable. Jails, institutions, on many occasions. First came into CA in the 90s, and I just didn't care. I didn't listen. I didn't stick. You know, I thought I could do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, and nobody could tell me any difference. Through a lot of consequences of using, time and again, back to prison. From the 90s until I sobered up, you know, I did three sentences in DOC, and I had to come to terms with my problem, you know, my addiction, I just couldn't do it no more. By the grace of God and the fellowship, I surrendered in prison. And, I continued using in prison when I went there, you know, but a time came that, I had to start working this program. And step one is the 100% step. You know, it's the only one I really got to get right, or none of it really matters. So, life is a lot different today. You know, that desire to drink and use has been lifted today by the grace of God and the program. But keeping sober, clean and sober, is the most important thing in my life today. And I owe it to this program. My life is still unmanageable, still powerless, but not as bad as it used to be. Come a long way. Still make mistakes along the road, but it gets better one day at a time. And thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Gary. Hopefully Thomas wrote down the second name properly. For step two, we will have Pete L. discuss the second step.
Pete, addict, alcoholic. Step two came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. To me, this is the crux of the whole program, because it's littered throughout, I don't want to say littered, but it's throughout the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous about God, a God of your understanding. When I was out there, I'm running the show, I don't take direction from nobody, I can see you guys, and even when I was in and out of recovery, I'm not going to take any information from you or any advice from you, and now you want me to believe in something I can't even see? You're crazy. But after spending 30 years out there of insanity, there came a fork in the road. Either I'm going to continue to live this way and I'm going to die by me being in control, or I need to find something else out there that's greater than me. And even in early AA, the doctors realized when they were treating early alcoholics in the 30s, they said in nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they were to succeed. And that was a problem, lack of power. And the solution is in the higher power. We don't read how it works anymore, but at the end of there, in B and C, probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, and C, that God could and would if he were sought. It's all throughout there that nothing humanly possible is going to make me recover. It's a belief in a power greater than myself. And the key for that is to just have, and for newcomers and people struggling with this step, because I struggled with this step for a lot of years. I was in and out of recovery for 18 years before I got 1 year. And this was the biggest reason why I was in and out for so many years. Leave the door open a crack like that. That's all you got to do. Leave it open just a little bit. In step two, it does not tell me or us that we have to fully define, understand, completely comprehend, completely give you a specific description of who our higher power is. It just came to believe. That's all we need to do. And that's all that I did. And there's a book out there, I believe it's still at the AA office, it's We Came to Believe in It. It gives how other people came to believe in a power greater than themselves. This is the crux of the program. This is the whole deal. We are so privy to be in a fellowship that allows us to go on a journey. And like it says, I don't lay in my bed, expect a magic wand to be waved, magic dust to fall on me, and everything's hunky-dory. I need to go seek and to find and to do this. And that's what I've been doing. And it's taken me a lot of years. I just turned 60 last month. And it's taken me within the last 3 years or so to really, really understand the God concept of this program. And for you guys that, like I said, because I struggled mightily with this, if you're struggling, have an open mind, and I think it says in there is no gray area in this. God either is or he isn't. What was your choice to be? And that's what it comes down to. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pete. Sharing with us step three this evening will be Ann.
Hi, I'm Ann, addict alcoholic.
Ann.
Okay, keep it simple, right? Actually, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. When I first came in the program, and I remember reading this, I remember thinking, and it was before I read any of the material or whatever, I remember thinking that if I turn my will and life over, I'm going to be empty, and there wasn't going to be anything there, even though everything that was there just was all messed up anyhow. But I remember feeling like I was going to be empty, and I didn't realize at that time that I had to be empty. I needed to be empty so that God could come in, you know. And when I was first clean, I also, you know, the slogan about let go, let God, oh my God, that was a third step for me. It was like, let go, let God. Anything I couldn't deal with, anything I couldn't handle, was like, you know, I gave it to God, you know. And you know what, today is still, there are certain situations that have come up in my life, and it definitely, that's the way I had to do it. Rick had mentioned, he had said something about some things that specifically came with the third step, you know, but I think one of the times that really came out for me was really turning things over is 2 years ago. I had lost two grandbabies within a two-week period, and that was like it, let go, let God, you know, because that was like really, really difficult. And you know, I know that, you know, it was God. It was, you know, being able to turn things over to him. I didn't realize it for a while, but really the third step, to really make it simple, is to work the rest of the steps. And I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know that for a long time. That basically is, it's to work the rest of the steps, you know. And one more little thing. I was at a silent retreat, quite a few years ago. I was at a silent retreat, and one of the topics was the third step. And there was a facilitator that, you know, did a little spiel about the third step. And for whatever reason, I don't ever remember hearing that word care in there. But when I heard to the care of God, I was like, I just started crying. Because it was like, I think at the time, I remember telling my sponsor that it was like part of me didn't feel as if I was worthy of that care. But it's God's grace. You know, God's grace is, you know, it's just, I don't know. Without the third step, I couldn't have went, without that second step, there's no way I could have popped from the first step of, you know, that powerlessness and that admitting to God. It just wasn't going to happen. I needed that second step to be the buffer for me. But, I don't know, make a decision. That's all I got.
Amen.
Thank you, Ann. Tonight, sharing step four with us will be Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Good evening. I'm Tom, and I'm a recovering alcoholic and an addict. Step 4, meeting searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I couldn't stay sober until, well, step 3 was the miracle for me. You know, that's when a miracle happened for me. You know, when I made that decision, turn everything over to God, got rid of my will and started doing His. But step 4, until I could stop blaming everybody else for everything else, you know, how can I move forward? You know, if I'm going to be playing the blame game the rest of my life, you know, how can I move on? I just can't do it, you know? So I needed to do a fearless searching and fearless moral inventory. I needed to go deep inside, and I needed to name out to myself, you know, all the things, the situations that I was blaming others for. Well, it was this person's fault that this happened, or this person's fault that this happened. It wasn't their fault, you know? I'm responsible for my own behavior every day, you know? And I need to be responsible a person today. And by doing that, by making a thorough forward step, I get to move on after that, you know? And we can't really go forward and do the other steps until we do that. Because how can we, if we're still playing a blame game, we're still blaming other people for stuff, and we're not taking responsibility for ourselves, how can we do anything else? We can't, you know? So every step comes in place, and they need to be worked that way. You can't move around to where you want to be, you know? Because everyone's in place for a reason, you know? And today I get to live life, and I get to be with you people every day, you know, and I get to just enjoy a fantastic life today, you know, because I do things the way the program shows me, and that's all I got, man. Just keep it honest and do what you got to do, and that's how you stay sober.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, moving on to step 5. Sharing with us tonight, step 5 will be Tracy.
Really? Thank you. My name is Tracy, and I am an addict. No, the lady who did step 3 is my sponsor, so I wanted to do what she did. We admitted to God, ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Step 5. Okay, admitting to God, not a problem. He know anyway. Admitting to myself, writing it down in that 4 step, not a problem. Don't nobody else see it. But now I got to talk to somebody else about the exact nature of my wrongs. This is a problem. And it was a problem to the point that I went back out there. So the second time it came around, it was not a problem. I will tell you anything you need to know if this is what's going to keep me sober. And that's what I did. Now, mind you, when I went into this step 5, I was crying. She had to go get some coffee before we met or some crap. And and I'm like, and I'm crying. She's like, what is wrong with you? I'm really scared, you know, because, you know, I'm thinking you're going to think less of me. But I was still willing. I was willing to get this stuff out of me if I needed to tell you, because I didn't trust none of you all, because every time I told somebody something, they told on me. Amen. So that was a problem. Yet I was willing, and I started spilling it. And then she starts telling me some stuff about her, and all of a sudden I was laughing. And before I knew it, I was free. So telling that other, you know, that someone, another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs was really freeing for me. And I found out that it was going to be okay. And I became free. I actually feel something lifted off of me. You know, at the end of step 5, we don't mention it very much, but in the big book, it tells us to go home for an hour and relax, do nothing. But we don't mention it very much. And I did nothing. But after that hour was up, I got busy immediately into what the next speaker is going to speak about. And with that, I pass.
Thank
Thank you, Tracy. Step six tonight, sharing with us about step six, will be Mike Avril.
That's right, my name is Michael Avril. What's happening? Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. I did what Tracy said at the end of step five, although I think it was a little more than an hour. Because revealing so much of myself in step five, even though I had been living with myself and my defects were so long, they were more like who I was, you know, who I had become. And now I'm finding that these are things that I do not have to carry around with me anymore. And I was so ready. I was so ready to start working on having these defects be removed. The word entirely is very important in this step. And I've worked this step more than once, and entirely has been very important each time. It's it seems like the more I grow, the more I change, the more defects pop out, and the more ready I have to be and willing to let God work through me. And step six is what opens that door, you know, for HP to, you know, help me become a better person. Kind of, you know, walk in the sunlight of the Spirit, as they say. I'm far from perfect. Most of you in this room know me and know that's a true statement. But I do strive on a day-to-day basis to work on my defects of character. And step six, you know, was freeing for me, because now I could go to the care that Anne was talking about, that care of my higher power. I could go to the, you know, my part in things and not blame everybody else for my problems. So six was a great step for me, and I believe in the 12 and 12, it says this is a step that separates the men from the boys, and I believe that. I believe this is where we buckle down and we make the decision to do the work and let God direct us. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Mike. Moving on to step seven, sharing with us will be Dale S.
There's been a change. Ron D will be sharing step seven.
Thank you, Anita.
Hi, my name's Ron. I am a recovered addict. I am grateful to God and this program for saving my life, and I'm also grateful for the many teachers that taught me this program. I'm even grateful to be alive. I never thought I'd say that. Shit, humble? Ain't nothing humble about me, okay? Now, if I'm going to ask God something and ask him humbly, what does that mean? The truth of the matter is this. I could always state my opinion to God. You see, because God, if I have a relationship with him, he knows how humble I'm not. I don't like asking anybody for nothing. You see, and if I ask God for something, I know he's going to want something back. So that's the way I thought. That's the way I think. Now, if I ask him to remove my shortcomings, what am I asking him to do? That means I'm asking God to give me strength to go through something I have to go through. Because a shortcoming is like me getting a flat tire or not killing somebody for cutting me off on a freeway. I still flip people off every now and again if they really piss me off. So that shortcoming and part of that defect of character still comes out. But you know what? I'd rather flip someone off than kill a son of a bitch, you know? But the truth of the matter is this. When I have strength to go through something that happens in my life, God is actually empowering me to go from point A to point B without either killing someone or giving me the knowledge to learn from a mistake or something that happens in my life. Because, you know, shortcomings happen to us every day, getting a flat tire, you know, running out of gas, something stupid. You know, little things in life that piss me off. It's not the big things, it's the little things that get to me. I don't know about you, but I hate stupid people. I don't know about you, but I hate little things happening to me. Now, I remember I had a boss who used to piss me off. And, you know, I used to tell this guy, I respect that. Because this man was the most aggravating SOB that God ever put on 2 feet, you know? And I'd say, I respect that, I respect that, I respect that. You see, and the man says, Ron, one day after 2.5 years of hearing me say I respect that, he says, I would like you to do me a favor. I said, okay, what's that favor? He says, please don't say I respect that no more. And he says, by the way, will you tell me what that means? I said, no problem. I used to say, I respect that because I used to tell people to kiss my ass, suck my, and go, go F themselves. And he goes, man, you mean you've been telling me to go kiss your ass, go suck my, and go, yeah, I said, yeah. And he goes, you got to be friggin' kidding me. I said, yeah, I respect that. You see? So I want you to hear this. So I don't act on the things that I used to no more. Because when I have a shortcoming or a problem, either I do it one way or the other. That's the best part about this. I don't have to react the way I used to. And I'd like to clarify one thing about being humble. It doesn't mean groveling at someone's feet. It doesn't mean being subservient and yes, master this and yes, master that. Being humble, true humility, is being able to speak what's on your mind, say what's on your mind with true conviction. But I will tell you this. Once you learn that you're wrong, be humble enough to learn from another human being and become teachable. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Ron. Tonight, sharing with us about step 8. On the 12 steps, we have Diane.
Rick here. My name's Diane. I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Diane.
Step 8, made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. When I first got here and read these, that was pretty simple language on step 8, and it wasn't hard for me to acknowledge that I had hurt people. But the exact degree and intensity and the number of people that I harmed, I really had no clue yet because I hadn't done 4-step. And it took that 4-step to acknowledge the exact nature of my wrongs, to realize how many people that I hurt that were in the peripheral, you know? It wasn't just this one person that I did XYZ to. It was all the people that were in their lives as well. And at first it seemed overwhelming when I was able to have my eyes open to that in the 4-step. But because I had made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God and there truly was a God that was taking me this far, and I started to really have a lot of faith in the process, and I knew that that more would be revealed, and it was going to give me an opportunity to be one with others. And I hadn't any experience with that because I was either up here or down here. It was real easy for me to justify and rationalize my behaviors. Even if I did acknowledge that I did something wrong, I couldn't admit it. I couldn't face those people. I would run from them, or I would feel angry inside and lash out on them through a lot of other ways. You know, so when I made that list after actually doing the steps preceding this step, it was pretty lengthy. And I know I remember hearing people talk about, don't let the language of the steps coming next, that ninth step, get in the way. Because of course I had no clue. My head couldn't help but want to race into, oh my gosh, you know, well, what an order. This is too much for me. What am I going to have to do? And, you know, thank goodness for sponsors, because my sponsor was able to help me sort that out when the time came. All I had to do was be willing. And I'm grateful that people were there to help encourage me with that, in a loving and very caring higher power that helped me to be willing to face people when I... And you know, the longer that I'm sober and praying in the morning for God to guide me through my day, it seems like the more I can acknowledge where I still cause harm. You know, but that's that new God consciousness within that comes. And that's okay, because it gives me a lot of freedom as a result. So thanks for being here tonight. Thanks.
Thank you, Diane. We will now continue on with step nine. Sharing with us step nine will be Debbie.
Hi, I'm Debbie. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. Or addict and alcoholic, whichever way. Step nine, make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except for, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step nine, when I got to this, was like, all right, cool. I can get this off my chest and expect everybody to forgive me. The thing is, not everybody's going to be so willing to forgive us that easily for what I've done. And the thing is, I can't expect everybody to, because of the damage of the magnitude of the whole thing that I did. The thing is, too, is that I cannot go running out looking for these certain people that I harmed during my addiction. And the thing is, when the time comes, then it can be done. Because it's not right to look for them, because it doesn't come out right, and it doesn't come from the heart. And that's what's important. You need to wait until the proper time to do this with the people that we've harmed. And the thing is, then there's things that we've done that you don't really want to tell the person. They probably already assume it or anything. But the thing is, you're going to do more damage by airing it out. And we don't want to do that. And the thing is... step nine, it's a great relief, and the thing is, it's a welcoming progress, because then everybody can see that you're working on this, and it helps. With that, I pass, and I thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Step 10. Tonight, we'll have Jeff share with us step 10.
My name's Fred, and I'm an addict alcoholic. Sometimes they call me Jeff. I'm nervous, believe it or not. Every time I get in front of a podium, I get nervous. Step 10, continue to take a personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. What does that mean? Oh, my God. You know what that means? That means I get to run through all the steps for you guys. Isn't this cool? You ready? How long do I have? 2 minutes? 2 minutes? I can do it in three. How's that? All right. I suffer from this disease. I have this obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body, right? And when I get here, I'm powerless. My life's unmanageable. You know these steps are written in past tense, right? That means eventually I will not be powerless. My life will not be unmanageable because I get to work these steps ahead of me. I have obsession of the mind, allergy of the body, right? Okay, so I got to do something about this obsession of the mind, allergy of the body. Step two tells us that God's the answer. Your spiritual program is the answer, right? A higher power, something power greater than you is the answer, right? Okay, great. And then in step three, they tell me what my real problem is, and it's not drugs and alcohol, right? Selfishness, self-centeredness, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-pity, self-seeking, right? Those four words I repeated again over and over again, step five, and step four, and step 10, and step 11. They're really important words because that's what we have to look for. Fear, self-delusion, self-pity, self-seeking, those are the things we obsess over. How do we get rid of that obsession? Because we can't do anything about the allergy to the body. Once we got it, it's there for good, right? So we have to battle the obsession. That's why they give us these further steps, you know, 4 through 9. Who am I angry at? Why am I angry at? What does it affect? How much time am I going to spend in this? What should I be doing instead? Spiritual sickness of others, spiritual sickness self. God, save me from being angry. How can I be helpful? What are you doing when you say, how can I be helpful, right? You're doing your A step. You're thinking about your A step. You're ready. They say later on that you do your A step and your 4 step, you know, that you make it out and you do it. You actually do it. You lay it out for yourself in your 4 step. And then they go on, where was I? Selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened. There's those 4 words again. Oh, my God, right? And then you go and you talk to somebody else, right? And then you ask God to remove it. And then you go and you make amends where possible. Doesn't that sound like continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it? Pretty much sounds like it to me. That's what this is. That's what this program's all about. We learn it in these 12 steps, right? We cut it up into all these little parts in order to learn it, right? But this is one big concept. We learn how to deal with this concept. This is an idea, one idea. We just put it all together. And that's what step 10 is. We put it all together. We do the 4 step. And the reason why we do the 4 step is because we practice this over and over and over again with all these people from our past. You know, who am I angry at? Why am I angry at? What does it affect? How much time am I going to waste on it? What should I be doing instead? Spiritual sickness of other spiritual sickness itself. God save me from being angry. How can I be helpful? Or is I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? God take away the fear. Whew, baby. Becomes natural, becomes part of you, right? Becomes a working part of your mind. That's how you stay sober. That's what the 10th step is. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Me as an addict speaking on the obsession of my mind with some of the wrong decisions and choices I've made, I would probably look to the steps to make sure I was getting it right. Well, thank you, Jeff, for getting that as right as you could in 3 minutes, but I don't know where you found the time to breathe in that. Okay, moving on to step 11. Please come and share with us about step 11, Bill.
By the grace of God, I'm clean and sober. My name is Bill. And I had to write it down because I couldn't do what Jeff did. I have to breathe. I'm getting older now, and I need to breathe. Step 11 says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. As we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. This is the longest worded step in the 12 steps. And if you know me, I've done this before. I like to go and look in the dictionary, go on the computer, and I like to find out what words mean. So what I did is I wrote down all the words, sought through prayer, meditation, to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So this is what I found out. It says sought, to search for, to solicit, through, from end to end into the completion. Prayer, petition to God, which specifies the thing desired or be to be granted. Meditation, devout, I like this part, contemplation of spiritual interperspective. What a word. To improve our conscious, having our mental faculties fully active. You know, when I was using, there's no way I could have did that. Contact, immediate communication. That means when I pray, I have immediate communication with God, who I believe to be the creator of the universe that made all of this. Praying only for knowledge, an acquaintance or familiarity gained by experience, perception of fact or truth, clear mental apprehension. I know, again, when I was using, there'd be no way I would have any mental apprehension of His, God's will for us and the power. And that means the ability to do or act, capability of doing or accomplishing something to carry that out. And all I can say with that when I close is, I'd much rather be known as a Jesus freak than a stoned geek. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Concluding the 12 steps for us tonight will be Rick. What? Should we change the last name and ask for another Rick? All right. I'm just...
Well, I just, nobody told me, but it's okay. My name is Rick. I'm an addict alcoholic. Rick D, if you're wondering. If you're really wondering, D's for dope fiend. But anyway, Rick D, addict alcoholic, 12 steps. I do what my wife did. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to addicts and practice these principles in all our affairs. Now, my sponsor took me through this step, through the 12 and 12. And for me, in my experience, that chapter in the 12 step in the 12 and 12, it brings me to tears every time. Because by the time I got to that step, from reading it, I understood about this program and what these steps. And my life has changed dramatically from when I first came in these rooms. Okay? So my spiritual experience has been like piecemeal all the way through these steps, through working, to going to many meetings, and meeting you all, and trusting God in this process. You know? When I came here, I didn't know where I was going to sleep that night. You know, if I was going to live another day or not, because there were people looking for me for once. You know, to hurt me. And I didn't know what my future was going to be like, or if I even had one. My past was still haunting me, you know. So my spiritual in the beginning was just to be clean one day, to be okay for one day. And the only time in the beginning that I felt okay, at peace, was in the rooms. And that was spiritual for me. Because before I got here, it wasn't a moment or a minute that I felt good, that I had any hope, you know. I was suicidal before I got here. 3 suicide attempts in one day. I wasn't giving up. I wanted it out, you know. And when I got here, you guys gave me hope, right? So working these steps, I struggled through them because they were new to me. It was different, you know. But my sponsor always told me, keep an open mind and become willing. And if you don't have it, pray for willingness. And that's what I kept telling myself, you know. I didn't want to do the third step because there was God in it. I was okay with the second step because there was fellowship in it, in the 12 and 12. And you got something special going on here. I didn't know what it was, but I want it, right? My fourth step, you know, I did my third step, and that's another story. I won't get into the steps like Jeff did because I'm going to be here all night. But the 12th step is my spiritual awakening came in piecemeal, like I said. You know, I was a different person by the time I got to the 12th step than I was when I came here. And because of these steps, I'm a different person today than I was a year ago. And I have 19 years. I keep growing. I keep changing. I keep getting freer. You know, these steps are meant to work into my life and keep working at it. You know, I don't make mistakes today. I make lessons because I have a solution to my problems today, every problem, you know. What's the rest of the steps here? Let me read this. Okay. So we got this spiritual awakening, and we need to share that because I can't keep it unless I give it away, which means I share it. That's what service work is, and I share it. I sponsor some guys. I only can share my experience. I can't share Jeff's experience or Diane's experience with someone else. I can share the Big Book's experience, but that's their experience. But I can share my experience because that's real. You know, that's my truth. And that's what I do. And my experience has been working a 12-step with Cocaine Anonymous because I'm a Cocaine Anonymous member. I have a Cocaine Anonymous sponsor. And that's what I've been here. And that's what I share. And then I tell them, it's up to you to get your own experience and apply it to your life, you know, each step along the way. And there's other stuff we can do, is carrying the message, doing H&I, you know. I found out about CA through H&I. Where's Dale? Dale here, or did he leave? Dale, my first H&I was in treatment, and Dale was there for H&I, carrying the message for me. I remember that. I didn't like what he said, but I was new. I didn't like what a lot of things were said to me at the time, because everything was new, because I was new. But anyway, and you know, the principles are the steps. You know, the service works in 12 was carrying the message. Any way, which way I can. We all can do it differently. We all have different talents. We all have different times in our lives. And I can't wait till I retire. I can do more. You know what I'm saying? But I do what I can. I do a lot. You know, sometimes I have to slow down, you know, because I got to do the dishes once in a while. You know what I'm saying? I get busy with the program. But, you know, I've been here a while, and I didn't know I was going to share tonight. And thank you for whoever, you know, put me in there. But I'm glad. You know, I don't know if you got anything out of it. And if you didn't, I tell you what, I got a lot out of it. Work these steps. Get your own experience, and you'll know what I'm talking about. You know? And God's care, He'll be there along the way at each step. Thank you.
Maybe. All right. I'm going to work a step right here on my own. I'm going to work a 9-step. I'm going to make a direct amends to whoever Rick S. is. I apologize. The only Rick I know is this Rick. So I said Rick, but Rick, I'd really like to thank you for you, how you summed up the 12 step, because that was awesome. That was really terrific what you just shared with us. I'm really glad. I may have been my fault that you did it unexpectedly. So I apologize to whoever Rick S. is. That's my 9-step. Okay, Rick, is there a Rick S. here who was supposed to do the 12 step?
He's not here.
All right, well then it was a great error on my part. I'll take credit for that. All right. Okay. All right. First off, I'd like to start by thanking the three individuals who read tonight. I'd like to thank